Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA reporter and insider, will join us in just a moment. Ariel Helwani, there's a lot of wildness going on in the UFC. Fight Island, some of the biggest names are at odds with Dana White. He'll join us at 1140, so make sure you tune into that as well. But Tim Bontemps here, giving us the straight talk now. Tim, thanks for taking the time, man. Hope everyone, hope you and yours are safe and healthy. So let's start here. I want to talk about your tweets about the Travis Schlenk Atlanta Hawks GM conference call, but I want to talk about the bubble first, okay? And I know that we were having this discussion earlier because Zach Lowe was talking about it on TV, and we were talking about the potential issue the NBA may have when it comes to deciding the play-in, for example, right? Let's use Portland and New Orleans as the example. And I understand that they've played different amount of games, that the tiebreaker will be win percentage. How fair do you think that something like that is, understanding that there's never going to be a perfect solution here because not everyone has played the exact amount of games, but how fair is it coming down to win percentage when it comes to deciding the play-in?
Well, George, this is really simple, right? When the league decided it was going to have some sort of whatever they're going to call it, regular season games or seeding games or whatever, if you were going to go beyond the 16 playoff teams, they had two choices. One was everybody plays to a certain number of games. The other was everybody plays the same amount of games in Orlando, right? And both have their drawbacks. If you have everybody play to the same number of games total, then you're probably going you're either going to have teams go down there and only play a handful of games, or you're going to have, like, say they played to 75 games for everybody. You'd have the Lakers have to play 12 games and other teams have to play 8, right? So that's one complication. Then you go to the other, but then for the playoffs, everybody have the same number of games played and that would be clean. If you do it this way, where everybody plays the same number of games, it makes it easier for you to schedule. It makes it shorter for you to get in and out and to get to the playoffs. But it leaves you in a position where you have to have an imperfect solution for resolving what the playoffs and the standings are going to look like. And if you're not going to have everybody play the same amount of games, the only way to do it is by winning percentage. So I agree this isn't necessarily fair to everybody, but I think what everybody needs to understand, and really that's been pretty apparent from the beginning, is that there was never going to be a way to make this fair for everybody. This is really about trying to choose from the best of a series of bad options. And I think that one way or the other, people weren't going to be happy with whatever the league wound up deciding, and they ended up siding with this plan in the end.
Yeah, look, I get it. There is no perfect solution, and you said it more succinctly than I even did earlier today. But yeah, people are not going to be happy one way or another, but you know, you have to kind of figure out what the best possible solution is, and I think they've done a decent job of doing that. So let me ask you about what you're hearing about what life inside the campus bubble environment will be. What have you heard maybe from teams or players or executives, coaches, et cetera?
Well, I mean, I think some of this is still being resolved at this point. We still haven't gotten from the league an official look at what their daily testing regimen is going to be. I think they're still finalizing exactly what, the daily life inside the bubble is going to be like. But I think it's safe to say that this is not going to be, an overly pleasant experience for everybody involved. If say the Lakers and Bucks meet in the NBA finals, they're going to be in Orlando for 3+ months. They're generally not going to be around their family. Maybe later in the playoffs, there'll be a couple family members there, but you're not going to sleep in your own bed. You're not going to play in front of your home fans. You're going to be, kind of cramped into a hotel room for a significant amount of time. There's going to be a lot of stuff about this that isn't going to be overly pleasant. But again, if the choice is kind of be able to finish the season and crown a champion and play out the playoffs or not, I think everybody involved has kind of realized that, all right, well, this isn't going to maybe be the best experience for all of us, but if the choice is playing games or not playing games, we all want to play games, and we need to play games for, you know, in order to both crown a champion and for the financial state of both the players and the league itself. So I think everybody's just kind of coming to grips with what this is going to be. And, you know, it's everybody's just kind of resigned themselves to the fact that while it might not be the most fun thing, it's a necessary thing for the season to be able to be finished.
Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA reporter and insider, joining us here on the Sedano Show. Let's talk basketball specifics before we get to the stuff about next season. Let's talk about what could happen once teams start playing. When it comes to LeBron and the Lakers, I've been pretty steadfast all season, even pre-pandemic, in saying this is LeBron's best chance of winning a fourth championship. It just, you do the math, right? Father time. Other teams around the league will get better, whether it's Giannis continuing to ascend, the Celtics, right? Those teams in the East, the Warriors, even though they may not be the championship Warriors, will still be at least better next season. They're not a pushover anymore. The West will continue to be hard. The Clippers will have another year together. How do you feel about the importance of, if LeBron is going to win another title, it's got to be this season?
I agree with you completely, George. I've actually had this argument kind of ongoing with our buddy Brian Windhorst all year, where Brian's repeatedly said that the Lakers will have a chance to get better this summer. They'll have, you know, the mid-level exception to go sign somebody. They'll have another year together. And while I'm sympathetic to his argument to a certain degree, if you look at the Lakers roster, you know, there's not a lot of reason, in my opinion, to really buy that argument. For as great as LeBron has been, you're right, he's another year older. He's in his 17th season. He's had the greatest 17th season in the history of the league. That very well may continue for 5 years. He also could get hurt again, like he did last year. You just don't know. The Lakers got great production this year from Dwight Howard. He probably won't be back next year, certainly not on a minimum deal. Danny Green is in his mid-30s. He probably won't be at the same level next year. They've gotten, you know, contributions from a lot of these guys that they've picked up, whether it's Avery Bradley, Davis Caldwell-Pope is on a one-year deal. Like, a lot of these guys might not be back next year, and it won't be easy for them to add to the team. And the other thing is, because of the trade they made for Anthony Davis, and listen, they got Anthony Davis. There's no quibbling with that, right? You take Anthony Davis and you figure it out later. But they traded so many assets away to get him in the future that they're not really in a position to be able to trade for, say, if Bradley Beal becomes available, right? They don't really have the pieces to go trade for a third guy to really add that final piece that they might need to the roster. So, yeah, I thought this year that this, you know, while he might be able to get better in the future, I think that your point that this is the best chance, I think that if you just look at the overall picture, I think this is the best chance for them, realistically, even if they have almost as good of a chance next year. And with the rest that the Lakers have going into this this scenario, and, you know, having LeBron being able to go into this in theory with a fresh body, having several months off and not having to finish out the regular season the way he normally would have, you know, I certainly think that they've got every chance to win it this year. And to your point, it would be, you know, it would certainly behoove them to do so.
It's interesting you say that. And Tim Bontemps with us here, ESPN NBA insider, because he has talked about LeBron, that is, about it being a challenge having to ramp up again, right? Because he kind of, as we all know, right, like he kind of gets himself ready for the playoffs in a certain way, even though this year he kind of came out early because he had all that time off and played more with more force, particularly on the defensive end early in the season. But so you think that the rest will help him in this scenario because there'll still be some semblance of a ramp up?
Yeah, I mean, listen, LeBron knows his body better than me, and I'm not trying to even argue with his point.
No, no, no,
and
I know.
I'm not a sports scientist. No, yeah. And I'm not a sports scientist, right? We could, you know, there's a possibility we could come back and we could see a rash of injuries because guys aren't in like, you know, ready to go shape like they normally would be because their whole offseason, you know, the last few months have been so bizarre for everybody. But I think that's partly why the NBA has such a long run up to the start of the season. I mean, you have basically the entire month of July where guys are going to have a chance to get their bodies in position to play. And I think the Lakers really benefit from having this 8-game ramp up to the start of the actual playoffs, because if you look at the standings, the Lakers are so far up on the Clippers in second place in the Western Conference. I mean, they're almost 6 games up. They're 6 games up in the loss column. they only have to win 3 of the 8 games in order to clinch the top seed in the West. So it's not like the Lakers are going to have to play all 8 games really hard from a seeding standpoint. They could kind of treat it like the preseason. You know, they can allow LeBron to kind of ease in as he would like. Maybe he only plays 20 minutes in the first game. Maybe he kind of ramps up every game. However they decide to do it, they're not like, say, Portland, which has to win every game and play, you know, all the way to the wall right out from the gate. So I think that this kind of sets up really well for them. It gives them, you know, almost 2 months for them to ramp up for the start of the playoffs in late August, assuming this all goes as expected. And I think if you had told LeBron back in March, all right, you're going to get basically 2 entire months to get your body right for the playoffs to start, I think he would have taken that and been happy with that being the outcome.
How do you feel about the layoff for the Clippers? They were dealing with some stuff, you know, Paul George specifically. How do you feel that this will help for them to get a reboot of sorts?
I think this is going to help a ton of teams, to your point, like from that standpoint. I mean, it's hard to know how everybody's going to handle the layoff from like a rust standpoint, and it is obviously going to be completely unique, playing in a neutral site in Orlando, staying in a hotel every day, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, go through all these teams, you know, the Lakers have a bunch of old guys, including LeBron. Giannis was dealing with knee issues for the past couple weeks. I mean, obviously he wasn't quite right when they were out in LA. He had to miss some games here and there. He should be right by now. Kemba Walker did not look good really ever from the All-Star game until the end of the season, or until the season was suspended because he had his own knee issue. The Raptors had, basically only played 7 or 8 guys all season and all of them missed a month of time. So they were playing with an incredibly short roster and they were kind of wearing down. And the Clippers, to your point, I mean, they had Paul George in and out of the lineup. They had, you know, Kawhi is obviously a guy who they were managing his games and his minutes. You know, so you kind of go through the Rockets were another team. They looked exhausted when the season was suspended. So I think a lot of these teams are really going to benefit from having this chance to spend a few months where these guys are not, you know, grinding through and having to play every day. We'll see if there's other consequences from that. But I do, like, to me, if everybody can stay healthy, like, I think guys are going to come into this with, you know, real energy. And I think it's got a chance to be a really fun and exciting playoffs.
Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA insider with us here. You were on the Travis Schlenk conference call. He is the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. And in discussing the timeline for next season, correct me if I'm wrong, he made it sound, or he said basically that they would still probably start in December, but they would try to finish the season in their normal time frame. So, in essence, the season would still try to wrap up in June. Is that accurate?
I wouldn't quite say that's what he was trying to say. I mean, I think more of his point was that if you look at next summer, now again, we are not through this summer, and as we know with what's gone on with this pandemic the past few months, we really can't predict the future very well at all.
Right.
But, you know, with the Olympics set to be played as of now from, like, I think July 23rd to August 5th next summer, I think more what the goal would be from the NBA standpoint is to try to avoid that, right? And if you just put the same amount of time, 177 regular season days and 65 playoff days that the NBA would have used for the 2020 season if things had gone as expected, next year would end, if it starts on December 1st, on August 1st.
Right.
Right. Which obviously would be about a week into the Olympics. So if you have the playoffs be a little more condensed and you have a few more back-to-backs on the schedule, if you shorten the season by 2 weeks, you get to July 16th, and that's a week before the Olympics start, right? So I think, you know, I think that what the league's preference, I think, would be to avoid having to go head-to-head with the Olympics with, say, the NBA Finals. I think that is more what the indication was. But look, the important thing about this is that the NBA proposed this December 1st date as a start date, but for that to come off, they need the union to agree to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is stuff that, you know, they're still trying to sort out what this bubble is going to look like in 6 or 8 weeks. So the idea that they're going to right now agree on what next season is going to look like, I mean, that and what the salary cap looks like next year and all that stuff is, to me, way on the back burner. And right now, the singular focus is on trying to figure out what exactly the rules are going to be for, you know, what rosters look like in Orlando and what the testing is going to be and how and what the schedule is going to be. They haven't released that yet. I mean, there's a million things that have to be sorted out before they're actually going to get to, you know, what next season's, you know, number of days is going to be.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA insider and reporter, joining us here. Thanks, brother. Appreciate the time as always. Talk soon. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
Same to you in every sense, George. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, brother. There he is, Tim Bontemps. All right, interesting stuff. We'll unpack some of that on the other side. Plus, ESPN did a redraft. Every NFL player is available to be picked. Who would you take with your team's pick? We'll do that next. Sit down over here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your home quote at progressive.com today. Thanks to Tim Bontemps for joining us there, ESPN NBA insider. So I saw this thing real quick. I don't want to get too far into this because I don't care enough, you know what I'm saying, like about this stuff. I don't listen. I'm a radio dork. Right? Like, I know radio people, right? Like, I may not listen to Rush Limbaugh, but I know who Rush Limbaugh is, right? I may not listen to Sean Hannity on radio, but I know who he is. But apparently there's someone called Ben Shapiro who got very bent out of shape and said he doesn't want to watch sports anymore because there's too much politics in it and that his place of comfort has been removed. Listen, dude, this is the problem. You're the type of people that are injecting politics into issues that are just basic humanity. You know what I'm saying? Like, what I've been talking about when it comes to these protests and social issues is this. This is you make it a political issue. Racism and humanity aren't political issues. If you make that and that messes with your little comfort zone, then sorry, snowflake, that's your problem. So I don't know. I didn't know who Ben Shapiro was, but he's trending on Twitter and his video has been all over Twitter for the last 24 hours. But dude, that's your problem. That's a you problem, not a me problem. How about you just deal with basic humanity, right? As opposed to in making everything political. You're kind of the problem, dude. So if you don't want to watch sports, see ya. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. And by the way, listen, not that I've got, like, you know, pipes from God by any stretch of the imagination as far as a voice, but good Lord, I thought we had a standard for voices on radio. Whew. Anyway, all right. So what did you make of what Bontemps had to say, Bergman? Are you okay with it now? Like, like the Olympics thing, I kind of nailed it when I was just kind of thinking about it out loud, you know, an hour ago or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you did nail it when it came to the Olympics. I mean, I get it. I understand why. It's every 4 years. Right. I just
think, and if you missed what we're talking about, sorry, Bergman, I didn't mean to interrupt you. If you missed what we're talking about, we were talking about Tim Bontemps' report about next season, even though he had some interesting stuff to say about this season and the Lakers and the Clippers. But next season, about it being shortened some and maybe having to play more back-to-backs, more four games in five nights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because the NBA wants to make sure to not mess around with the Olympics, basically. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just basically just agreeing with you. I get it. I understand the reason why you would not try and get into the way of the Olympics, but I would rather have the season be what it is, going from December to August. And if every 4 years, if there's an issue when it comes to the Olympics, then maybe some of the best players don't go. But I don't think that that's a reason to shorten the season like they want to do.
Yeah, I would be worried about that because I do think that ultimately it becomes one of those situations where you could have a rash of injuries. I mean, we saw that during the 2011 shortened season where they played 66 games in 123 nights. And I think that, now granted, I don't think it would be that extreme, but it is something I'd be worried about, especially if I've got older players, but I don't think it matters, right? Like, Derrick Rose got hurt, you know what I'm saying? And it had nothing to do with a strike. It didn't have anything to do with age, I think, at that particular point, if you remember.
Right. No, I do. And look, if we're sitting here worried about load management throughout the year because of Kawhi or even when LeBron did it or whoever it is that's doing it, it's going to be massive next year if they do this because people are just not going to risk any of that things. They're not going to Kawhi or whoever else will sit out on back-to-back games. You will see a lot of sitting out. It's just, and then so you're going to start getting upset. Like, oh, I'm sitting here in Cleveland, and I was expecting to see LeBron James. Oh, he's sitting out tonight. I mean, I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it either, but we'll see. I mean, again, as he said, all of this is still fluid. It doesn't seem like any of this is etched in stone because they're, as he pointed out, they're still trying to figure out the bubble stuff. But the campus, because Adam hates when you call it the bubble, but the campus environment. And it makes sense. Messaging matters, right? It's like what we talked about yesterday. Remember? Messaging matters, and it's not just yesterday. We've been talking about it for over a month when we went back all the way to baseball. Messaging matters. So bubble sounds restrictive. Campus sounds less restrictive, right? Fair to say?
Yes, very fair to say. And look, if there's one commissioner out here that is going to listen to the players and listen to the public and see what is best for the sport itself, Adam Silver's that guy. I actually trust that he's going to get it right for next year.
Yeah, I would guess so too. But do you believe that, like, the stuff he added about the Lakers, where it was not just LeBron and age and other teams, but even within their own roster, that there could be some issues? Like, Dwight probably isn't coming back because he's not coming back at the minimum moving forward. He's kind of resuscitated his career. And there are guys that are on one-year deals. Like, you don't know what you're getting. And yes, you have the mid-level exemption, but it is more of a challenge to retool the team next season.
Yes, it's a little bit more, but there are guys on two-year deals. I believe Danny Green is on a two-year deal, or maybe it's possibly even three. There's a lot of the guys that we pay attention to the most are around a little bit longer. It's more the lower-end guys. Like, I think Rondo is done at this year. I think Quinn Cook's on a one-year deal. Those types of guys are the ones that are going to be gone. Losing Dwight, he was just extra. At this point, I would love to have him back, and he may actually still come back.
Ooh, I don't know about extra. Like, he is basically your sixth man in a lot of ways.
No, he's been fantastic. I'm not trying to take that away. But when he came on, he wasn't supposed to be anything. He was
right,
he
but he turned into something.
Right, and he's been fantastic off the bench. He's still a walking foul. That doesn't change anything. But I think that they would be able to build a roster no matter what, and I think it would still work. It's not going to be the same guys. As long as you have LeBron, the main core, as long as you have LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Danny Green, and Alex Caruso.
Alex Caruso.
You like that? You like that being added in there?
I mean, for the love of God. I mean, hey, I like Caruso, Alex Caruso as much as...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I like him as much as the next guy. Look, I wanted him to start play more minutes over Rondo. Like, let's not forget that. Like, I'm still in that camp, by the way. But, like, yeah, I just think it's funny. He's like a cult fixture. Like, it's hilarious.
He is, but at the same time, like, he's actually a guy that makes guys around him better. He works really, really well with LeBron James, and they when they're on the court together, you love analytics.
Yeah,
when they're together,
I know.
It is super high.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's an important
super
part.
Effective.
Yes, he is not obviously a core player, but he does make the team better. So if he's there, that's a guy that you can – utilize in a lot of different ways. So I think that the core will still be there next year, and you can add pieces around it because other guys are going to be gone from other teams that you can bring in.
Yeah, but it will again. They don't. He's right about this. They don't have the trade assets, right? Like, that's where it starts to get a little dicey. You know what I mean? So it just you're going to have to get guys that want to come in for minimums. You know,
right? It's the same thing that they did this year, though. That's
right.
They didn't have.
Well, but you don't. That's not necessarily. You still had the $15 million you could give. Danny Green. You don't have that at your disposal. Now you're talking about a mid level, which you're talking about. You know, a couple of million dollars. You know, it's not the same.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Kyle Kuzma, right? Does he now become a bigger trade chip? Like, that is a guy that you can possibly – he does have a low contract,
yeah,
so it's
right,
the
but
same
the contract
problems.
Screws you there, yeah.
Right, yeah, the contract is low, so it makes it difficult, but he could be somebody that maybe you can move for smaller pieces or for money. There's it, and also, I mean, we already seen that he doesn't really fit perfectly with this team anyway.
No, you're right. I don't think he fits all that well. I think that – he has moments, but I don't think that it's consistent enough. And I think that that's what we've been seeking is consistency. And again, it may not be that it's not. Look, I've never once said I don't think he's a good player. And I think he is a good player. And I think that people need patience with him. That's what I've been preaching. That was what I was preaching before the pandemic. But they may not have patience for him, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, they may have to make a hard decision on him, to your point.
Right. You know this better than anybody following LeBron in Miami for so long. There is no patience when LeBron James is on your team.
Right.
You don't allow that to happen.
Yeah, the foot is on the gas.
Gone. Yes.
Yeah, foot is on the gas constantly. Yeah.
Right. All the guys in New Orleans are gone because there's no patience, and you got Anthony Davis out of it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of it is just like lower-end guys, though. Like, who knows what Deion Waiters is going to turn into, or Markieff Morris.
Oh, my God. I forgot Deion Waiters even on this team.
Right? Well, supposedly he's working out, and he's working out hard right now, and he's like, I'm going to come back on fire. And so, you know what? If he comes into and just
Deion
starts
Waiters,
banging threes.
Deion Waiters, you just made me have PTSD. Deion Waiters is Deion Waiters is – here's what Deion Waiters is going to be. Who was the most Jekyll and Hyde player that you've seen play for the Lakers? Like that you were like, you know, like basically you're like, yes, 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 no, or no, 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 yes. You know, like when he shoots the ball.
Kuzma.
Ever?
Ever? Oh, yeah. No, ever. No, there's been plenty of guys that, I mean, Ron Artest or Meta World Peace was like that for a little while.
No, but he's not as good as that.
No. But there's been plenty of guys that have been that way. Eddie Jones was like that a little bit for me.
No, but just, Eddie's at least it's not the same. It's not the same. It's just not. Like, listen, Deion will have moments where you're like, man, I get why he was a lottery pick. And then you know what it is? It's kind of Michael Beasley-ish in some way.
Oh, geez. Okay, got it.
You know, like it's like where you see moments where you're like, yeah, I get why that guy was a top five or six pick or whatever he was. And then you have moments you're like, good God, I guess now I get why he's been on a bunch of teams. You know what I mean? Like you're going to have those moments is all I'm saying.
Look, I was not on board with bringing in Deion Waiters. I mean, if you're going to get in trouble and suspended from the Miami Heat three times in 1 year, you're doing something wrong. So, I mean, but apparently I'm just going to go by the same Dwight Howard rule that I was very against Dwight Howard coming in. And right. Now the same thing with Deion Waiters. Let's see what he does.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we didn't get to the NFL draft redraft thing. So basically, here's the deal. Every player in the NFL is available and each NFL Nation reporter at ESPN picked, and they picked based off the draft order of this past season. So every player available, Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to tell you where some of these mistakes were made. And listen, I love our NFL Nation guys, but I can understand why some of them aren't GMs. We're back in 2.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Don't forget, Thank You Thursdays, presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know a frontline worker and you want to nominate them, we're going to shout them out. We've got our frontline worker coming on Thursday. You could nominate your own frontline worker, healthcare worker. We love them. ESPN LA Marketing at ESPN.com. That's the email address. First, last name, city, and occupation. Or you can post a short video on Instagram or Twitter using the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift, which includes a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, a $100 gift card to Wingstop, a $100 gift card to VSLiquor.com, and a $100 gift card to Shooteria.com. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests will appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. If you missed Tim Bontemps earlier, subscribe to the podcast. You can hear it there. Ariel Helwani will join us in about 10 minutes or so, so make sure you listen to him. There's all sorts of stuff going on in the UFC, including Fight Island, so we'll get to that. But it is time to talk about this NFL redraft. I should have mentioned this to you earlier, Laura. Can you find me just like some NFL music or something we can play? So Greg and I, thank you. So where Greg and I can just have some fun here with this. So if you don't know what we're talking about, ESPN did this thing on ESPN.com with their NFL Nation reporters. For example, like Lindsay Theory is the LA NFL Nation reporter. She has she covers the Chargers and the Rams specifically. And each one was asked to make a draft pick based on every player in the league being available, from Patrick Mahomes to Aaron Donald, et cetera, et cetera. No, didn't matter what side of the ball. You can pick whoever you want in your draft. So, Bergman. So, Laura, let me know when the music is rolling. Oh, there we go. So, Bergman, fairly obvious number one pick would be Patrick Mahomes, yes?
Yes, absolutely. That was
right. I don't think there's any argument about that. Right. So who would you take number two? Like if you were picking, I don't know if you've seen the list, but who would you, and I'll tell you who they picked. Okay, so who would you take as the number two player in the NFL if you had your choice of any player in the NFL? You're doing your own, basically, your own fantasy draft.
I think I actually agree with them, and I would go Russell Wilson.
I thought you said you hadn't seen it.
No. I said I have it.
Oh, you have
it. No, not haven't. I have it.
So you would go Russell Wilson. Why Russell Wilson?
I think he's just a very versatile quarterback that can do a lot of different things. He's smart on the run, and he is a winner. He's been to Super Bowls. I think, and he doesn't turn the ball over very much. When he's running, he gets down when he needs to get down.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. Number three, they have Lamar Jackson. Any issues with the MVP being number three?
Nope. Another great player.
Number four, Deshaun Watson. I would potentially consider taking Deshaun Watson even over Lamar, personally. But I think it's close. So I could get why people would go in a different direction. The fifth player taken in this draft was Aaron Donald of the Rams.
That's interesting, and it's to the Dolphins, too. So, look, he is the best defensive player in the NFL and possibly the best player in the NFL, period. But I don't know if you go with the defensive tackle with the fifth overall pick. If you're doing a full redraft.
If you're doing a full league draft, I don't know either.
Quarterback, right?
One would think that all the quarterbacks would go first. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's the most important position, right? Like, so the next pick
would you
was
take there? Rodgers.
Aaron
right?
Rodgers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would still take Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Yeah, I would take Aaron Rodgers next. Is probably the guy I would take.
Yep.
And then after that, the sixth pick was Ronnie Stanley, which is an offensive tackle, which, again, Joey Bosa. So it was like a run on linemen there, both offensively and defensively.
Staying away from quarterback, which,
Drew Brees was next. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how my locker room would feel about me drafting Drew Brees at that point. But
Dak
Prescott was taken ninth. Like, I don't spend a lot of time talking about Dak Prescott because we know the show after me spends plenty of time talking about Dak Prescott. But you know how I feel. Like, I feel like he's good. I don't think he's elite. So I certainly wouldn't take him over Rodgers, who's lower than him here. Certainly over. I wouldn't even take him over Carson Wentz. Honestly, this may sound crazy. I'd probably take Kyler Murray over Dak Prescott. I think Kyler Murray is going to be a beast, okay? Like a beast.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I think every single first round it has to be a quarterback pick right here. And whoever was this, Mike DeRocco, the Jaguars reporter, he must be from Dallas because there's no other reason to take Dak in the in that spot.
No, but I'll tell you this. Dak has become a polarizing figure amongst NFL people because there are plenty of people who will say he deserves to be in that category. You know what I'm saying? That there are people that think he's better than Carson Wentz. There are people that will argue that he's better than Aaron Rodgers right now. And look, Aaron isn't as mobile as he once was, but Aaron Rodgers is still the most accurate quarterback in the league, okay? And he's also got a gun still. You know what I mean? So, yes, Dak is younger, but yeah, I'm not taking him over Aaron. Get out of here.
No, Aaron Rodgers by far. If the game's on the line and you need a quarterback to win a game at the end of the game, it's not Dak Prescott. Aaron Rodgers is the guy that you're going to take between those two.
Easy. So if I told you, and we're going to break here in a second, if I told you you had to pick a young player, like someone, who's been in the league 5 years or less, who's like the person you're buying? Like if he was like a hot stock that you expected to be like the next big thing, who would be that guy?
Does it have to be a quarterback or can it
no? It could be any position.
Probably a guy like Joey Bosa.
It's not a bad one.
Yeah, I think he's just unbelievably good and is a disruptive force.
Yeah, or his brother, to be honest with you, is pretty good.
Yeah, Nick Bosa is really good too. Yeah,
yeah. Those are good picks. I'm telling Murray. I am a Kyler Murray stan. I'm telling you right now, like, I would buy all the Kyler Murray stock available right now. Like, I would just scoop it all up. Like, I think he's going to be really bleeping good.
Over a guy like Mahomes or, or...
No. I'm talking about a guy who hasn't played that long. You know what I'm saying? Like, a young guy. Like, like
Mahomes, I think it's only been three years or something.
I get it. But Mahomes is the consensus best player in the league. You know what I'm saying? Even though he wasn't the MVP this year. So, I'm talking about guy under the radar type,
Right. Yeah. So, then I'm sticking with one of the Bozas.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So you want to see it. It's actually interesting where everybody was selected. Even Tua made the list, which I thought Ryan Tannehill made this list, which is crazy to me. But and Sam Darnold, by the way, for the USC fans, was the 23rd player taken. He's Key's nephew, Michael Thomas, was 22nd. There's guys in there, you know, that a lot of them make sense. Some of them I'm like, Here's the thing. I would say they all make sense. I would just say the order is kind of weird. But again, it goes to show you not everybody can be a GM. And this may be the proof of the pudding right there. All right, coming up next, the UFC has got Fight Island ready. The UFC's got some issues with its top fighters. Dana White is at odds with a bunch of people. Ariel Helwani is the best in the business at covering MMA. He's a friend of the program. He's going to join us in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils. They're made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Ariel Helwani, friend of the program, best in the business at covering MMA, joins us to give us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. He and I will be doing a show together, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time, on the ESPN Radio Network on Saturday. So you can catch it right here on this station. Are you excited? I'm very excited. You broke the news to me because, well, that makes sense. You're the newsbreaker.
Okay, well, a few things. Number one, was that the same song that you guys played last time that I was on and I was glowing about it because Laura, the best in the business producer, gave me the song? Is that the same one?
Laura, I believe it is. Is it?
It is the same song.
It is. That, there you go.
I mean, you talk about high-level producing. You talk about something. You see, what we learned last time was people who don't ride bikes, don't know to ride bikes, are the coolest in the club. So I think that Laura is proving that once again. So I appreciate that level of detail. Number two, I'm so excited, but George, I got to say, I'm a little worried about you. I'm a little worried about you because I feel like you were like, oh, no, I didn't know about this. No one told me that we were going to be doing a show with Ariel. And now I'm like figuring out a way to get out of it. And I want to backtrack. I came to you. Tell the world. I came to you saying, oh, my God, the mega powers are uniting on ESPN Radio. It's going to be the best 3-hour show in the history of weekends on ESPN Radio. And your energy level was like at a 5. I was hoping you'd be at an 11.
No, I didn't know what you were talking about. I was like, I thought it was because you were coming on the show because I had mentioned on air yesterday. I said we should get Ariel on, so I thought maybe someone tweeted it to you or something like that. And I was that was what I was thinking. I had no idea that you were doing the show with me on Saturday. And once you told me, I was very excited.
Okay, fair enough. I am so excited. And honestly, when they told me with my guy Sedano, the man who introduced me to the NBA, I'll never forget it, almost exactly a year ago. It's Sedano, Vince, Carter, and Helwani doing Summer League. You remember that? Remember how
I
great
do.
That was?
So I do. It was
fun. Like almost, you know, it all comes together here a year later. I can't wait.
It is. It's going to be a blast. So we'll have plenty to talk about like we do today. But let me ask you a couple of NBA things before I get to the MMA stuff. We just had Tim Bontips on, and we've just kind of been discussing about the restart and, you know, what advantages certain teams may have. And it feels like that because of the ramp up that everyone's going to have, it's going to be similar, right? Like, I actually think it will benefit maybe some of the older players in that regard because they'll have a training camp, some exhibition games, and then regular season games before playoff games start. But when it came specifically to the two LA teams, like, I look at it for LeBron in this way. Like, I think because of what we expect next season to be, right? KD and Kyrie coming back. The West is getting better because the Warriors will be back intact, right? The Clippers will have another year of chemistry under their belt. I almost look at it as this is a very important season for LeBron James if he wants to get a fourth championship. I believe it'll be his best shot at it. What do you think, Ariel?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you know what's so fascinating about this is like, all right, who's been, you know, who's been training, who's in shape, who's out of shape, you know, who knows who's been banged up. Like, I feel like there's a lot of secrecy. You know, I was comparing it to the world of MMA, and MMA fighters aren't the most secretive bunch when it comes to their training. So all day, even in the midst, like in the heart of the pandemic a couple of months ago, all day, you know, I'm cooped up at home. We're all cooped up at home, and I'm seeing them at the gym. I'm seeing them, you know, hugging their teammates, their arms around them. Like, no one is hiding anything. And I feel like the NBA players are doing everything on the DL. Like, you're not seeing a lot of stuff out there, but I feel like they're all actually training really hard and getting ready for, you know, a playoff push here. So I'm really curious to see what kind of shape everyone is in, because usually, you know, part of the playoff, part of the magic of the playoff run is, all right, you know, sometimes there's bad breaks. Like, you know, the Warriors had a bad break last last June when KD and Klay Thompson went down and the Raptors benefited from that. And, you know, conversely, the Raptors, you know, were healthy, so they got lucky, et cetera, et cetera. And so now those elements, are they in play as much, or is everyone on the same equal footing? And I agree regarding LeBron. I mean, what he did this year, I think he should be the MVP. I think that, you know, I don't know what they're waiting for. They should just announce that, you know, with those four games out of the way or whatever it is, and then just come out with the awards. Because to me, he had an incredible season, a season that I think, considering his age, considering the miles, considering what he did last year or didn't do last year, and considering the way he came back, I was blown away by what he did. But you're right, come next year, things might be a lot different. And this is a perfect opportunity for him. And I think for once, he would be kind of like the feel-good story. Because, of course, what happened earlier this year with Kobe Bryant, I think everyone was sort of rooting for him for the first time. It seemed like everyone wanted him to get it done. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I can't wait, man. July 31st, I cannot wait for that.
I got one more for you, and then we'll switch over to MMA. Now, you are Canadian. Now, I believe a Knicks fan, though. We won't hold that against you.
No.
Despite that, Kawhi wins a championship for Canada. He then leaves to L.A. to the Clippers. Where are you, Canadian Ariel Helwani, on Kawhi leaving Canada to come to L.A. after winning a championship? Are you on his side? Are you okay? Did you understand? I've never actually had this conversation with you on the air.
So I get it, and I don't hold a grudge, especially because he went home, and we all kind of knew that he wanted to go home. Had he gone to, say, Miami or some place like that, it would have hurt more. I would be lying if I didn't say this. I really feel like they would have been the favorites to repeat with him. I mean, when you consider the improvements that Pascal Siakam made, not only from, you know, two off seasons ago going into the championship season, but this past off season going into this year, he was incredible. Also, Lowry doing great. I mean, the team was really coming together. And guys like Chris Boucher, who didn't get really a chance to shine last year, were starting to come into their own as well. Nick Nurse, to me, with the job that he did this year, I think he should be one of the front runners for Coach of the Year. And so there's a part of me that's like, man, they could have had a mini dynasty going on here had he stayed. And Danny Green probably would have stayed as well. But I get it. I can't hate on him. And if he would have gone to the Lakers, you know, it's still L.A., it would have hurt a little more because, you know, he's teaming up with the evil empire, so to speak. And I know I just said moments ago that they're everyone's sweetheart now, but we're talking last July. But the fact that he went to the Clippers, the fact that he went to, you know, a franchise that had not really, you know, enjoyed much success. You know, I know they had the runs here or there, but nothing really of note over the last 30 or so years. To me, it was an easier pill to swallow. So no hate. I'm happy for the guy. He's the greatest Raptor of all time. They should build a statue in his honor. They should retire his jersey, all that stuff and more. He did what Vince, what DeMar, what everyone, Tracy, what all of them couldn't do, and he did it in 1 year. So he'll always have a place in our hearts in Canada.
Ariel Helwani, best in the business at covering MMA, covers the NBA with us as well, does a phenomenal job there as well. He joins us here. Let's switch to MMA. I got 6 minutes before the hard out here.
Okay.
Fight Island. What should we expect from Fight Island?
Okay, Fight Island is happening in Abu Dhabi at a place called Yaz Island. They just announced this earlier today. They're going to do four events in July, beginning with July 11th, UFC 251. Three title fights on that card. And it's all great. There's two pieces of news that aren't so great. Number one, it's not your typical island. I've been to Yaz Island. I covered UFC 112 there. It's not like a beach or anything like that. There's no bikinis and waves crashing and stuff. It's kind of like the desert. It's not really that exotic, if you know what I'm saying. But
yeah.
Kudos to them for making it happen. The less exciting news of the whole situation is our guy, the 305 zone, Jorge Masvidal, kind of got screwed here. He was, he was negotiating. They didn't like what he was asking for, and basically they just went to the next guy who was, you know, a lot cheaper than Jorge, and they're doing Gilbert Burns versus Kamaru Usman for the welterweight title. A fine fight, a good fight on paper. It's going to be fun come July 11th, but I feel for Jorge. 17 years in the game, he deserves to have this title shot, and I feel really bad that he's kind of getting boxed out here.
So let me ask you that, because it's a big picture question, because it's not just Jorge Masvidal who's dealing with this, right? Like, John Jones obviously is not happy with some of the terms of a fight that he was supposed to have. So he wants, quote unquote, out of his contract, or at least tweeted that, you know, tell Dana to let me out. Like, whether it's him, whether it's issues with Conor always in and out. Masvidal, John Jones, Henry Cejudo, right? Retiring now all of a sudden after six fight win streak. Like, does Dana have a problem on his hands here with this?
A little bit, yeah. When you have the top 1% of your organization openly feuding with you and talking about things that the UFC doesn't want them to be talking about, revenue sharing, you know, purses, getting more money, release me, all this stuff is not healthy, right? And, you know, they've been here before, but they've never had this many people who are at the top of the organization who seem to be unhappy. Now, all of them have different gripes with the UFC, but the common denominator is always money. And at some point, this was going to happen. Now, is this going to lead to real change? Is this going to lead to unionization? Is this going to lead to the fighters coming together? I'm not so sure, because typically fighters are kind of selfish. Once they get what they want, they stay quiet and they go along their merry way. But I'll tell you what, man, Masvidal is the only one who's actually talking about the whole entire picture. And he's talking about issues that not only affect him, but everyone else. And from talking to his team, he's very upset. He feels disrespected. And you know this, Georgie, you know, like, this is a guy whose dad escaped communist Cuba. And this is a guy who knows what it feels like to be oppressed. And this is a guy who doesn't like to feel like he is being taken advantage of. And these emotions are coming out. So I'm really curious to see how far he takes this, because the other guys are talking about issues that affect them. He's talking about the whole picture. We haven't had someone at his level do that. So, you know, buckle up. This could be interesting.
What is Dana's position on it, though? Like, what is, I don't know where he stands. Like, does he stand on, is a contract, is a contract, is a contract, and this is the deal? Like, what is his position?
So his position is, yeah, you guys signed a deal. They make a lot more money than you think. You need to honor your deals. It's a pandemic. He keeps saying it's a pandemic. But meanwhile, they're putting on events. They're getting paid for these events. They're doing pretty well on pay-per-view and, you know, with their TV deals all across the world. And yes, there's no gate. I get that. But the fighters don't get a cut of the gate. So you can't ask them now to care about the gate when they never were privy to the gate before, right? They never got a piece of that pie before. Some of them get a piece of the pay-per-view, but they don't get a piece of the ticket sales. And so the UFC is saying, like, look, we're not in a position right now to be bumping up purses because we're not making money off these gates. And I get that. But the fighters are looking around and saying, like, look, this, I didn't plan for the pandemic. Like, this is my time. I have a very small window of opportunity to be a draw in this sport. And Masvidal is the perfect example. This is a guy with like 50-something fights on his record, 17 years in the game. He wants to cash in. He wants to get a seven-figure payday for a title fight. He's never gotten that before. And so, you know, that's where they're having this issue. And, you know, they got a little bit closer at the 11th hour. They made one last-ditch effort yesterday, I'm told. But by then, I think that the damage was done, and Masvidal was upset, and they still weren't giving him what he wanted. So they're moving on to the cheaper guy. But, you know, the UFC doesn't feel like there's an issue here, and they certainly don't want this to become a bigger issue. But what they're basically saying is, like, hey, it's a pandemic. We're not making money off the gate. Everyone's working. We're not asking you guys to take a pay cut. We're figuring out ways to put on these events. Like, you know, just kind of do what's on your contract, and now's not the time to play hardball and try to renegotiate with us.
Ariel Helwani is the best in the business at covering MMA, joining us here on the Sedano Show. My man, thank you so much. As always, I will talk to you on Saturday.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. Take care. There he is, Ariel Helwani, joining us here on the Sedano Show. It's interesting, Bergman. I am curious to see if Jorge Masvidal gets a better deal for the bigger picture. Like, I'm always behind a guy who's willing to do what's best for the rank and file. Like, that guy, I'm always in on that kind of stuff.
It's going to be interesting. I like what Ariel's saying, though. I mean, this is a whole new time for what's happening in the MMA, where you don't really hear them talking about, you know, more stuff that comes with the contracts and whatnot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, again, if they unionize, look out. Dana White could have some issues. All right, we're done here. Thanks to Ariel for joining us there. Thanks to Tim Bontemps for joining us. Thanks to you guys for listening in, calling in. Of course, thanks to Greg and Laura. We will talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mama Momo will be here, as she is every Wednesday. Have a great rest of your day. We love you. See ya.